Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. You can go online to orthosensi.com to learn more about their services and, of course, all the great doctors, physicians there, orthosensi.com. I'm your host, Double T Travis there. Great guest in studio here tonight. We're featuring the South Dearborn boys basketball team. We're going to introduce Coach and the players here in just a second. Just wanted to run through a couple of quick hometown sports headlines from over the weekend. Wrestling state finals took place down in Evansville. Had a couple of locals there. Gabe Rose out of Switzerland County, the first ever time that a Pacer has appeared in the state finals. And then Max Amberger from Batesville. Unfortunately for both of those young men, they lost their opening round contest to the eventual state champion in their weight class, but still a great run for Gabe and Max to the state finals. He had the girls basketball semi-state over the weekend. Jackson Dell went to New Albany and was matched up with number one Lanesville. Certainly a tough draw there, as Lanesville's the defending champ in 1A. So Lanesville gets the, 22-point victory over Jackson Dell. But again, a great run for Scott Smith and his team out in Osgood. And then we have some area swimmers that are moving on in the state tournament. You have Milan's Dylan Thomas, Oldenburg Academy's Nash King, and East Central's Henry Strotman. They're going to be moving on to the state finals in their particular events. We also had a couple from South Dearborn, Cameron and Carson Cheek. They're moving on to the diving regional, which is going to take place tomorrow. They'll be joined by East Central's Nick Hutchinson. So good luck to those six individuals as they look to continue on. And three trying to get to the state finals, three already there. We'll see how it shakes out for them this weekend in Indianapolis. So, some quick hometown headlines. You can read up more on those stories, EagleCountryOnline.com. And I guess while I'm at it, should probably say congratulations to Cam Craig out of Switzerland County, reaching the 1,000 career point mark in a 40-point performance over New Washington over the weekend. Cam's had two 40-point games over his last three. He's been on an absolute tear, averaging about 26 points per game, and had it not been for an injury that kept him out of most of his sophomore season, I think he'd probably be creeping up on the school record for points at this point, if you ask me. So, all right, there you go. Some hometown headlines. Now we can turn it over to our guest of the evening. We also will be hearing from Lawrenceburg head coach Brad Cutter at the end of the show. I had to throw that in there. It's sectional time. We're going to be covering Lawrenceburg and South Dearborn next week, so we wanted to hear from both schools there. But we do have head coach Patrick Cosgrove here with Adam Kunkel and Brody Tiki, friends of the show, we'll say. We appreciate you guys coming back, Coach.
Thanks for having us. Got to give the people what they want.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys have been great on the show. So we are going to talk South Dearborn basketball, but we're going to have some fun and talk about some things that are interest to you guys as well. So let's get the serious stuff out of the way, and then we'll have some fun after that. It is a big week upcoming. You had the snow day on Friday. That's what I'm calling it. It was a little bit of a bummer that the game couldn't take place on Friday, but rescheduled for this week. South Dearborn at Lawrenceburg on Wednesday, and big implications for your team as you're still in the thick of things in the EIAC, Coach.
Yeah, it was kind of a bummer getting all jacked up to play on Friday, and I kind of had a feeling this was happening. We were all kind of sitting in film, trying to keep it as normal as possible, looking outside, watching the snow and ice at the window. I was like, this is probably not gonna go. And at 4:15-ish, he told us, kind of a bummer, sort of a real letdown. Thankfully, we didn't have to play the next day. That would have been a tough one to probably rebound from, just emotionally. It worked out, thankfully. We're squeezed this time of year in the calendar. We have a common date open. Kind of odd playing on a Wednesday, but it really doesn't matter. I know they're probably the same way, but we would play them anytime, anywhere. It doesn't matter. It's such a big game for our guys and for the community. It's one of, like I told these guys, one of the first questions people asked me when I got the job 2 years ago, they didn't really ask about anything else, but can you be Lawrenceburg? That's literally the only question they asked. They didn't even know my name. Sometimes they didn't even introduce themselves. They just driving by in a golf cart. Can we beat them? That was it. So it's obviously a big deal, but it's one of the coolest things about being at South Dearborn. So yeah, 3 games in 5 days is no joke, no matter who you're playing. We got some special events in their homecoming and senior night too. So it'll be a real challenge for our guys, led by our seniors, to really lock in and focus one game at a time, which is easier said than done sometimes, but I'm quite confident we'll be ready.
So what'd you guys end up doing on a Friday night after you're all ready to come down to Lawrenceburg and play a big game? How do you kind of handle that situation?
Oh, well, I know after like filming all that, we got some shots up, and then I was just kind of like, just went home and just relaxed. It was a bummer because Friday night, you get everybody, the community around. I thought it was going to be like a big game packed, no spots available. And then, like, now it's on a Wednesday. It's like maybe students won't be there because they got to work or whatever. So I hope it's still packed. But that's what
we do too. And maybe a show like this can get some more butts in the seats. Hopefully. That would be nice. When you're kind of going through the day, Adam, and you got this big game coming up, it's a must win for you guys for a multitude of reasons. When you see the forecast, was there a lot of chatter throughout the day? Like, is this going to happen? Walk us through that.
So maybe in me, I didn't pay attention to anything about the weather. I showed up to school and
didn't even know.
I had
the
no
sun
idea.
To come up
I was like, it's 60 degrees yesterday. It'll be fine today. But one of the Hudson Shackford, his mom sent us a text about how it may get postponed, and I was like, "What? What's going on? Why?" Yeah. And so then, because we leave for Ivy Tech on Friday, so we weren't at the school when she sent that. So when we come back, I was like, "Oh, like this is serious. Like it actually may get pushed back." And I'm trying to tell everyone, "Don't worry about it. We're still going to play," because I don't want people to think like, "Oh man, I'm just going to go home."
Yeah,
I still want everyone to be prepared. And then, like Coach said, we're sitting in film trying to stay focused, and four comes around when they said they'd send the text out. Nothing was there.
Yep.
4:15 comes around, and we're like, yeah, this doesn't look very good. And then finally, Walston comes in. He's like, yep, we'll have to play it another night.
I refreshed Twitter, or X, I guess it is now.
I don't know if Coach will like this, but we're in film, and I'm checking my phone, like, what's going on?
Because we were wondering, if we were going to broadcast the game.
Yeah. Preparedness for the weather is not a strong point of our basketball team. We have multiple guys. This is no joke. Their idea of snowshoes is Crocs. So you want to pick the shoes with holes in them when you're walking through the snow. I'm not even naming names, but it's more than one. So,
well, now that we know that it's happening on Wednesday, we've talked a little bit about the EIC standings. There's four teams that could share the championship. Greensburg could win it by themselves if they defeat East Central on Friday. So assuming that you win the game on Wednesday, do you guys need some EC apparel to put on Friday, or is that taking it too far? Taking it a little too far?
I don't know if we're going to gear up in anyone else's stuff, but I'd be lying to say we weren't pulling for them if and when we're in that position. We don't play for second, but even our guy, I don't know when the last time South Dearborn even finished second in the EIAC. To split it speaks to what the league has been this year. Yeah. And what I think the sectional is going to be, because it's the league.
Yep.
I think in the last, only this is my second year, but in the last 3 or 4 years, it was a pretty clear, from what I could tell, one or two teams in a gap. Then people that might sneak up on you, but pretty much you could, depending on the draw, right, if you seeded correctly, if you seeded the one and two opposite each other, you could pretty much bet a good amount of money who's going to be in that final game. That is not the case this year. So it's really cool. It's just interesting that some teams have crept up and have been the reason that other teams aren't clearly. I mean, Connersville got us and got Batesville at Batesville.
Yep. Batesville. It's just wild
to see where I think Batesville beat Greensburg in their conference game. And I don't want to talk about what Greensburg did to us, but it wasn't pretty.
Yeah.
It's just weird how those are the same teams that we all kind of beat each other. So
it has definitely been the most interesting season I've called of boys EIAC basketball in the 8 years I've been here. So it's been fun. I'm sure it's been a little stressful for all the teams involved. But for the players, you guys are in a situation to do something that hasn't been done in a while at South Dearborn. So just, I guess, how grateful are you for the opportunity to go do something pretty special this week, albeit needing some help on Friday night?
Yeah, it's definitely a special opportunity. But I think we're all excited, and we all know what's at hand. I think we're all going to come prepared Wednesday. Obviously, it's a big game. It's a rival game, and it's there.
Yep.
So, but we're all looking forward to it. Like I said earlier, we were all pretty bummed Friday when it got moved. We were all ready to play. We all wanted to play. So having that game decide potentially what makes the end of our season is going to be it's going to be a lot of fun. I think Wednesday is going to be a lot of fun.
We hope that it is. We know the atmosphere is going to be great, even on a Wednesday night. Coach and I were just talking about it off the air, just a different buzz in the gym when you and Lawrenceburg get together. I don't know that we need to touch on this next topic so much. I did have a finishing strong written down because you just have a few more games this week to round out the regular season. We'd mentioned Cam Craig. I know that's a player you're going to have to stop in that final regular season game, but – you know, it is that week where iron some things out and feel confident going into next week.
Sure. It is, of course, you want to win all three. But like you mentioned, it is more, it truly is more about the process. And you can look at it as, I mean, let's be honest, this time of year, guys are, they're done practicing. They get bored with practice. I don't blame them. Basketball season is a long season. Even though we try to do it 90 minutes, after that 45, 50-minute mark, it gets a little loose sometimes. So, and I'll be honest, sometimes as coaches, it gets a little monotonous at times, too.
Sure.
There are negative returns by just practicing to practice sometimes. So look at it this way. We're going to get high-speed game reps 3 times in 4 days, which that is – you can't replicate that in preparing yourself for the sectional. Yes, we try to finish strong, and we have certainly a couple big games on the horizon, but it is also very difficult not to look forward, especially with the sectional, the draw just yesterday. That's in forefront of everyone's mind. So it is tricky, and, you know, if you ask me, if you tripped up in one of these three but you won a couple of sectional games, would you trade it? Of course.
Yeah.
Right, because when it gets to that point, you're just all about extending your season.
Yep. I will say this, and you guys can talk about this a little bit. Since you're going to play the 3 games in 5 days, you would have to play 3 in, what, 4 days to win the sectional next week. Do you see that as a good preparation for next week, Brody?
Yeah, I do. He's actually been talking about this all week. Like, it's just like if we would win a sectional game, we just keep playing right after. So, like, I'm used to it because I've been playing AAU, but others can get prepared by doing this, and hopefully we win all three and go further in sectionals. So I think it has a good
good prep week.
Yeah, good prep week,
absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, playing games is fun, too, yeah. So it doesn't hurt to play 3 in a week. That's good.
Less practice.
Speaking of the sectional, this will be, I guess, our last serious topic before we move on to some funner stuff, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. I think the sectional is fun to talk about. Draw came out last night. Did you guys do anything special for it?
Yeah, we most of us were able to get together up at Willie's in Hidden Valley.
Okay.
Up there.
Cool, very good.
Overlooking the vista of the Grand Lake. It was cool. I mean, I'm still trying to get used to it, the whole sectional process and how it all works, but it is really cool that you would imagine not everybody, but close to 100% of all the guys that play basketball in the state are all gathered around watching the same thing. It has a little like Selection Sunday feel too, which is pretty cool. This year was, of course, last year, the one thing I was hoping didn't happen is exactly what happened, drawing what I thought the best team in the sectional on their home floor the first game, which is what happened. This year, it truly didn't matter to me. You know, everyone wants to buy, right? Because it's one less hard game you got to win.
Right.
But in terms of actual matchups, there wasn't anything that popped up there where I'm like, oh, crap. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Nor is there anyone that pops up. They're like, oh, we got that one.
Right.
It really did matter. So it was different in that way. But it is a really cool thing to be able to get together and kind of see where you're going. Still dramatic. Guys were actually nervous. Especially our young guys, it was funny. They're like pacing around and stuff.
How do you guys treat that day?
Any of them, football, basketball. I let everyone else react. And then I put my eyes on the screen and then we see what we're working with.
Brody, how do you feel during all that?
Yeah, I couldn't look. I'm right with him. My stomach was hurting the whole way. Like we got there a little late and I was like, I don't even want to look at it. And my stomach just kept hurting. As soon as the draw happens, I'm like,
It is weird because, like Coach said, there's not a lot of ways that it could have fell where you're like, okay, you know, you can kind of relax. You can't really relax in the tournament because anything can happen. So, again, you draw Batesville. I will say this, it's going to be a part of what will be a doubleheader that night, and you'll be playing the second game. Does that kind of get you in more of a comfortable space playing at the same time that you normally would? Does it really matter between 6 or 7:30? Does that stuff play into you guys' mind at all?
Well, to be honest, I didn't know we were the second game, but that's nice.
There you go.
It's kind of like watching JV when that first game happens, just gets you ready to go. I think that's actually a lot better than playing the first game. And like sections where you only get 20 minutes to warm up, right when it goes off, you have to get going. So,
right.
Yeah, I like that a lot better, actually.
We're able to take our time after school. We don't have to get everything ready. You don't have to eat and then leave right away. Like, we can hang around and shoot for a little bit and then get on the road.
It's more routine, I guess. Yes. So that might not be a bad thing going into that first round. But, three games in 4 days is what the goal is, right, Coach?
That's right.
All right. Well, we will be there on Wednesday night next week to call the South Dearborn-Batesville game. We'll have the Lawrenceburg semifinal match on Friday. Should you guys win on Wednesday, we'll have a doubleheader on Friday next week. That's what we're rooting for. So we'll say good luck to you right now, and we'll say it at the end of the show. But let's get into some fun stuff here. I know you guys come ready to talk about other sports. This is a sports show, so it doesn't have to always be so, you know, whatever the team's in the studio centric. So it doesn't have to be so South Dearborn centric. So, Brody, we know you're a big UK fan. You got your SEC shirt on here today. So I thought bracketology with Brody sounds really fun today. Man. And I was looking on the ESPN site because Joe Lenardi's the main man when it comes to bracketology. Always my first question is, how do you feel about Kentucky being a 6 seed? That is where he has them currently. That I don't think that should sit right with Wildcat fans.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's a lot better than being a 1 seed and getting upsetted. Like, it's better to be the underdog a little bit. And I have hope in our team, actually, surprisingly. We play a lot better when we play better opponents. So, like, the Auburn game Saturday, tough environment, 13-0 at home, and we finally played a lot better and got a win on the road. So, I actually have some faith, and I kind of like the 6 seed. I kind of like being like that.
Okay.
Like, a lot of the teams last year I read said, like, when they were going into this week, they were, like, 19-6 or 19-7. They lost some big games, some close ones. So I'm having some hope, which is good.
All right. So under the current model, they would play either Nevada or Utah, whoever would win one of those first four games up in Dayton. Do either one of those teams scare you in the slightest in the first round? Because 6-11, that's upset Central right there.
Yeah, no, I feel good about those games for sure.
Coach, I don't know how much you follow college basketball, but you can kind of play devil's advocate to Brody here if you want to.
That's a dangerous game.
I think it's fun.
No, it's fun, but it's a dangerous game.
They're getting through the first round on one of those two teams?
I think so. You know, they play a lot of young dudes, though. The one thing that's really interesting about college basketball is since COVID happened, there's some really old teams out there. It's not uncommon to play against a team that's got, like, multiple guys over 23.
Yeah.
So then they're literally grown men playing against guys that are 6 months older than these two.
Yep.
That can present some challenges when it becomes, you know, maybe a nasty game at noon in the middle, I don't know, the Meadowlands or somewhere, like, where it's not – which is an odd game. Yeah,
Omaha. They actually have it
Omaha.
Down.
Okay, so yeah, I don't know. I know Big Blue Nation travels and all that.
yeah, we do.
Omaha's not exactly Catlanta, whatever they call it. So,
it'd be
interesting.
I will say this: if they got through that matchup, and I'm just going to project higher seeds into the next round, just for the sake of the thing we got going on here. I'd be getting a little nervous in around a 62 because the 3 seed is the Iowa State Cyclones, and they're one of the best defensive teams in the nation.
I watched them play. Did they play Cincinnati?
They played UC last week.
Yeah. Okay, so I watched a little bit of that game, and I was thinking that too, so I was like...
Yeah, you got the number 3 scoring offense in the land in Kentucky, about 90 points per game. And then Iowa State's 7th in the country in defense.
Oh, geez. Yeah, we're not 7th. We're probably way up there. Our offense is up there, but... Uh-huh. Our defense is bad.
So what wins out in that game, great offense or great defense?
I say great offense. Our defense is picking up. Cal's got him on the right track right now.
All right, so we'll go Sweet 16. You run into a familiar foe in the Tennessee Volunteers.
I think we got him. I mean, we're going to play him. That's our third time playing him. We're going to beat him. It's not this Saturday. It's next Saturday. We're going to beat him then, and then we're going to beat them again, and then we're going to the Elite Eight. Come on now.
Okay, so Tennessee won the first matchup then?
Yeah, they killed us. That was terrible at Rupp. That was our first loss. They just make me mad.
Oh, payback in Knoxville is what you're calling for.
Yep.
Okay. What about maybe SEC tournament? They could match up there, too.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's in Nashville, too. I went to that last year. It was fun.
Oh,
but hopefully we win that. Honestly, I'd rather win a national championship than the SEC tournament.
I would agree with you there. I think the Iowa State-Tennessee, those games will be very difficult. Elite Eight, maybe like Purdue, Creighton, San Diego State. I'm not as scared of those teams for some reason.
Yep, that's for sure. There's a lot of, like, you never know who you're going to play. It's just like the EIAC. They beat a team, and then they lose a team that they shouldn't lose to. So
I guess the overall question is anybody beating UConn? Because they look pretty stout.
I haven't seen them at all, honestly. I really haven't.
What they did to Marquette the other day was pretty impressive.
Oh, didn't they beat them by 20?
It was bad. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't see that game, but I heard about it. So.
UConn's tough. Hurley's definitely got them playing. He is insane.
They've won like 14 in a row, something like that.
And they just, they're one of those teams where if you let the, you know, some teams will just kind of, if they get up, they'll let you back in it or whatever. If you let those dudes get up for 10 or 12, they kick that door in real quick. Them and the other one is, I just like the way they play. Houston is similar. Yeah. They will get on you in a second.
I have them written down as a title contender because those two teams are on the opposite side of the bracket. So what I'm kind of getting from this is Brody is very reluctant to say anybody's going to beat his Wildcats.
Nope, they're not. Not going to. All right. Hopefully.
All right. Well, and of course, we're more locked into this SEC tournament, which is in 3 weeks, but we don't know when we play next week. So we know where our priorities are. So that's comforting as a head coach to know that.
Sorry to get you in trouble, man. All right. We talk a little football here with QB1. We're going to go 3-round Bengals mock draft, and from my understanding, this is not going to be your first time doing this.
Nope. We went about, I wonder how many mock drafts I did today. It was quite a few. Definitely more than 10.
All right, we're going to run through this pretty quick here. I'm going to skip trade offers and just go straight to the player pool. So do have the offensive tackle from Oregon State available here at 18. Okay. We're looking at Kenyon Mitchell, corner out of Toledo, is available. Chop Robinson, an edge out of Penn State. Nate Wiggins, cornerback from Clemson. Cooper DeJean falls from Iowa. Byron Murphy, the D-tackle from Texas. Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama. Brian Thomas, LSU. Amarius Mims and Tyler Guyton are there.
Amarius Mims is a big one.
At offensive tackle, those are any of those names standing out to you?
Yeah, I like the Oregon State tackle. He's a beast. He is incredible. He's a great run blocker. The interesting thing about Amarius Mims is he's also 6'7".
He's big.
He's a big boy. He hasn't played much ball in college, but he is huge. And having him and Orlando Brown Jr. side and side would be very interesting.
I'm going to let Coach weigh in, too, because I know he's a big Bengals fan. So where would you lean here?
Well, all I know is I'm tired of not watching Joe Burrow play.
Yes, that's a great
point. So whatever keeps that dude on the field, I'm all for. I know they're most likely replacing at least one tackle. Yeah. And I think we've seen, even though in that Super Bowl run they made, you can never have – it's kind of like baseball and pitching. You can never have enough depth on the offensive line. Yeah.
So you going Oregon State or Georgia
I'm going to Oregon State.
All right, let's lock it in. That's our first
Oregon
round
State
here.
Yep, there we go.
Simulating to the second round here. This is pick number 49.
Let's hope that second D-tackle from Texas falls.
He's there. Tavondre
let's
Sweat.
Go.
If he is there at this pick, it's going to be very hard to not take him. I will say Trey Benson, running back out of Florida State, and Jatavion Sanders, the tight end from Texas.
Yes. Yep.
Those would be intriguing picks to me.
Yes.
Coach, what are you thinking?
I think, again, up the middle. I think defensive tackle. I think Reeder is probably – first of all, I don't know if he's going to be able to play anywhere this coming year.
And
again, you look back at when their defenses were – and now they didn't have the playmaker on offense that they do now. But, you know, like when Geno Atkins was there, that he was – makes such a huge difference. Not to mention the quarterbacks that got to mess with the AFC. You got to have some sort of pressure in their face because those dudes, they're another level.
Locking in sweat.
Yeah, locking
in.
Interior round. Pass rush will help
so
those guys.
So going trenches first and second round.
Need it.
Where's your mind go for the third pick then?
I'm trying to think. I know there's a – I'm pretty sure there was a couple.
I'll just show you who's available instead of saying all
here
the names. You can pick out a couple that you think are intriguing there. Because I think corner's still a need. You probably need another playmaker on the offensive side of the ball. That's kind of where my mind goes in the third round.
There's a corner from Missouri that's still there.
Okay.
Safety, there's three safeties up there, but I trust Dax Hill. I want to let him keep playing, and we've drafted a lot of safeties recently. There's also the tight end from Kansas State who's interesting. I don't see enough free agency. Like, I don't see them going out and signing a bunch of tight ends that'll keep them from drafting someone. So I think they'll go Kansas State.
Kansas State. Yes. I will say, just down a little bit from him is Cade Stover from the
Ohio
State.
I did see that.
But
yeah.
I'll lock in Ben Sinnott. Yep. That would be a pretty good three rounds, I think. If they go trenches in the first two rounds, I think that's a big help to the team because that's kind of their weak spots, as we've kind of highlighted. Anything else that's interesting you out in the sports world, or should we talk about a absent player here tonight?
That we
I think we should do that. We'll give you a couple minutes to do that, and then we'll let you get out of here. The invite did go out to Peyton Hill, senior player, who's having a nice senior season. Coach, we talked about him a little bit out at the South Ripley game, and you know how he's kind of progressed through the program, but. That's all right that he didn't show up tonight, but we're going to have a little fun at this point. So
yeah, I mean,
just turn it over to you.
Yeah, no, before the South Ripley game, I think you guys asked me, like, who's a guy that's kind of come out of nowhere or better than you expect or whatever. And I led off with, I think I said something along the lines of, he's one of my favorite players I've ever coached. And then I asked him if he wanted to join us today on the radio, and he quote-unquote said, Coach, you know I don't talk like that, which was so eloquently stated that I think, you know, America missed an opportunity
to
hear from Peyton Hill today. But... so it's our loss, as he's at Skyline, I'm sure.
Oh, he's already hate coach.
Yeah,
Bernie,
so.
I understand you're pretty close with him. Give us an idea what Peyton's like.
Oh, he is funny. He's oh, he's so fun to be around. You guys would have loved it.
America would have loved it.
Yeah, they would have. They would have. He would have not stopped talking about it. He's so funny. It's really a bummer that he missed us, as I'm videoing this right now, so he can hear this.
Does he have a sports interest that he talks about quite a bit at all?
No, we got him on Kentucky. He's been starting to watch their games, starting to talk about them, but nah, he doesn't watch much, actually.
Just watch highlights of himself?
Yeah. Oh, he loves making fun of me, because I like to do some bad choices, so then I'm on the bench, so then when he shoots, I'm going crazy in my arms, and he sends videos of me all the time. That's the only thing he sends me, not like how good he did or whatever.
Well, maybe there will be another opportunity to have you guys in somewhere down the road, and we can.
I think next time he's just the only one that comes.
Yeah.
He is the only one that shows up.
I think you guys should get to either like stand behind him or outside the window and just kind of watch and heckle him a little bit. Like that could be a little fun.
Yeah. I would say legitimately low, besides giving him all kinds of crap, which I'm always for. I fully endorse that. I will say, like I mentioned, I believe it was South Ripley that we talked about. What's really cool is a story like Peyton Hill, that doesn't exist in high school basketball anymore, very unfortunately. I mean, the dude played JV as a junior. Even this summer, I don't think he was even totally sure he was going to play.
He didn't want to play.
He definitely didn't think he was in line to start.
Mm-hmm.
And he started the majority of our games. But you know, then at the same time, he hasn't started some. And he's played some games. He played maybe 12, 14 minutes. Some games he's played darn near 30 minutes. But it's really cool to see a guy that stuck with it. That, you know, the way it used to be, you would work your way up and earn your playing time instead of being gifted it because of who you are or who you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
Or the coach hates you, the coach loves you, or whatever it might be.
Yep.
That's the perception of some players and parents, and it's not even them. It's all the other people that think they should have a say. But, no, in that way, he's been a great story. Hopefully we play more than a few more games, so maybe he can get you, you know, maybe a pregame or postgame with I'll drag him in there with me or something.
That would be really cool. After any game, you know, it could be this Wednesday, it could be next Wednesday. Always welcome on the broadcast after a game if you want to come up and say some words. So we can certainly make some time for you and Peyton and anybody else.
That.
I say you do that next
time. I do want to make one comment on the Peyton story, because I do think it's awesome that he's worked his way up to some playing time at the varsity level, and it can be used in everyday life too. You're not going to walk into your first job and be at the top of the totem pole. You have to work your way up. So it's a great life lesson for everybody out there that you are not entitled to anything. You have to work for where you want to be. And I think Peyton's a great example of that.
Yeah. And he has literally worked his way to it.
Yep.
You know, no slight, but it's not like when he walks in the room, you're like, oh my God, that guy must play basketball. You know, he's five, what is he, 5'8"?
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't certainly not an imposing figure. He's not, what do they call it, the first off the bus team, right? but for him to be able to not even compete but excel and be the reason we won some varsity games says a lot about him.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you guys coming out tonight. Always fun. We wish you the best of luck this Wednesday, big conference game, and then we'll see how things shake out on Friday, and then we'll see you again next Wednesday as well at the sectional. Always a great time with you guys.
Yep. Thanks for having us. We'll see you in a couple days.
Thank you. Absolutely. All right, Patrick Cosgrove, the head coach of the South Dearborn Knights, Brody Tiki, Adam Kunkel. We're going to take a short break. We're going to run a little long on the program tonight because when we come back, we'll hear from Brad Cutter of the Lawrenceburg Tigers about the sectional draw and the end of their season. This is Crunch Time on Eagle Country 99.3.
It's time for a word with Dr. Gordon Young with OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. As a foot and ankle surgeon, what are some of the most common injuries that you come across?
We'll see muscle, tendon strains, things like that. Again, for your high school kids, it's going to be pretty much sprains and breaks and things like that. And a lot of people ask me, should I be wearing braces? And it's kind of a tricky answer because most people don't need to. But the research actually does show that you can prevent an ankle sprain by using a brace.
What about the use of ankle tape?
There are some studies that show that the athletic tape after 20 minutes doesn't do anything.
The word overuse comes up a lot when we're talking about athletic injuries. Have you seen an increase in overuse injuries?
Actually, probably we are seeing that much more nowadays. Now you can pick any sport you want and play it 365 days a year if you really wanted to. So we do tell families to kind of take a break in between. The American Pediatric Association actually came out with guidelines because sports are just everywhere nowadays. And that you probably want to shut it down for like 2 weeks in between sports or seasons just to let your body recover.
That's a word with Dr. Gordon Young with OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Now back to Crunch Time. Welcome back to Crunch Time on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3. Going to wrap up the show here in just a moment. But before I do that, another big thanks to the South Dearborn Knights boys basketball program for joining the show this evening. Hopefully you enjoyed that first part of Crunch Time. That was very enjoyable for me. Hopefully they had a great time as well. And now we kind of got to go to the other side of the spectrum, other side of the fence, whatever you want to or however you want to look at it. We got to talk with Lawrenceburg head coach Brad Cutter because we're going to be covering not only South Dearborn but Lawrenceburg to start our sectional coverage next week, and wanted to get Coach Cutter's thoughts on the sectional draw that they received last night, and obviously talk about their final games of the regular season and their recent stretch of play. Two games they have won in a row. That's where we started our conversation before diving in to talking about this week ahead and sectional next week. So here is Coach Cutter.
Yeah, I've been pretty pleased with our team and our effort the last two games. You know, we got beat at East Central on a Thursday, and we kind of met as coaches. You know, felt like we just needed to get recalibrated as a program a little bit. So we switched up our practice routine. We got our, you know, some of our older guys, top 12 guys, coming in and practicing against each other for an hour solid, and then our JV guys coming in with a little overlap, which also gives them some time on their own that they don't get a lot of during the week. So felt like that's helped springboard us into two good wins. You know, I feel like we played one of our better games on both ends of the floor against Connersville this past Saturday. You know, so again, we're just trying to preach the little things that are going to hopefully carry us here in the next 2 weeks at going into the tournament, things that we have to do well that we know we have to do well to win. So,
yeah, we always talk about teams needing to play their best basketball this time of the year. You're running out of time to build all that momentum. Only two more games to go. It's going to be a Wednesday, Thursday for you this week, the makeup with South Dearborn on Wednesday, and then Oldenburg Academy coming in on Thursday. So obviously you want to win these two games, but what are some of the things that you're really focusing on this week that you want to see your team do really well?
Well, and I think that's, to your point, it's one of the reasons why we talk about sectional week early in the season. We talk about it all year long. I mean, we were talking about it. I can remember back during the week when we played Batesville, third week of the season, just what kinds of things you have to do to prepare, because sectional week is hard. You have to put two or three of your best games together. Sometimes it's 24 hours later, you know, from Friday night to Saturday night. So you just talk about those things that you think will springboard you. You know, and this week we like the setup of the week. We certainly wish we would have played South Dearborn last Friday. But when you look at it, we got back-to-back nights, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, which is obviously what we hope to do next week, playing Friday, Saturday night on the sectional. So it's a good little preparation week for us with two quality opponents that are very different in styles and present different challenges.
Sure. I do want to kind of highlight the South Dearborn game because we're going to be calling that on Wednesday. You've already knocked Connersville out of contention to share the EIAC title. A chance to do that with South Dearborn on Wednesday. Not necessarily asking you to put out bulletin board material for South Dearborn, but since you can't be a part of the conference equation, you got opportunities to knock other teams out. Is that a nice place to be, I guess, at this point of the season?
Oh, it's 110% our goal. We know, obviously, we can't win it. We certainly don't want them to win it. And we're going to do everything we can to ruin that. But, you know, it's at the end of the day, if we play our basketball and do what we need to do, we have bigger goals than ruining South Dearborn's conference, you know, hopes. We're worried about what we can do after that. So, again, it's focusing on Lawrenceburg. It's focusing on doing what we do well. We like the fact that we have two home games this week. Send our senior class out on a good note with two good wins is the goal. So.
Very good. And we got to talk about that sectional draw we're going to be covering, sectional 29 at Greensburg. You get the bye. We've talked about this here and there, whether you like having the bye, if you want to play the first night. You know, you only got to win one game to get into the sectional championship, so you certainly have to like that. But you will have a full week to kind of get your guys prepared. So where's your mindset heading into the sectional and, of course, maybe a rematch with Greensburg in the semifinals?
Yeah. I mean, when you look at the layout of the tournament, I mean, we're the only team that has to win two games, right, to win the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So you can look at it from that standpoint of we have a week to kind of, you know, get our legs underneath of us. We can probably take some downtime a little bit here after our games Wednesday and Thursday and let our guys recalibrate with their physical, you know, the fatigue and that part of it. But once Monday gets here, I mean, it's full guns blazing. We talked about that last night when we got together for the watch party of the draw. You know, not too many times do you get a second chance with some teams, and we definitely have been craving a second chance at Greensburg. That left a bitter taste in our kids' mouths and our coaches' mouths. So we do look forward to that potential rematch. You know, I'm always a Coach Brown fan, so I'm going to obviously root that he can upset them and beat them. But, you know, it's just – we have to put together a really solid Friday night game plan because regardless of how we feel about them, Greensburg's a well-coached team. They're a good team. They play hard. And it's on their home floor, which is always the toughest part of it. So we'll be prepared. I think our kids are ready. But, again, we have a big week ahead of us this week that we have to get through first. And it goes back to the old saying, if you take it one game at a time. And what we're worried about right now is South Dearborn and South Dearborn only. So, but yeah, sectional is wide open. I've never seen this sectional as wide open as it is probably this year as far as any team that can put two or three games together can win it. They're all well coached. They all have talent. So it's going to be fun from a fan's perspective.
Absolutely. We're excited to be there. We're excited to be there Wednesday for the South Dearborn game. As always, appreciate your time.
Yep, thanks. And again, thanks for covering us. We've appreciated your support all year long.
All right. So there you have it. A couple big weeks ahead. We're excited for this week. South Dearborn at Lawrenceburg this Wednesday. Myself and Bill Smith will have the call. 7:10 pregame coverage, 7:30 tip-off. We will be out at Greensburg on Friday where the East Central Trojans look to win and share the EIAC championship with Greensburg and perhaps South Dearborn and Batesville as well. Going to be a crazy week rounding out the regular season, and then it is straight into sectional play. Next Wednesday, South Dearborn taking on Batesville. That will be the second game on Wednesday night, so an approximate 7:30 tip-off from Greensburg High School. Lawrenceburg receiving the bye. They'll be at the top half of the bracket on Friday night, taking on Rushville or Greensburg. That'll be a 6 p.m. start. We will have that game should South Dearborn win their first round game. We'll have a doubleheader for you next Friday, and if one of those two teams in the championship game, we'll be right back out at Greensburg for the title game. If neither team makes the championship game, then we'll just be kind of following along and see if we can get out to another sectional title game. But I'm very much looking forward to these next couple of weeks. A very exciting time in high school hoops. Thanks again to the South Dearborn Knights boys basketball team for joining the show. Coach Cutter for calling in today, and thank you for listening. We'll do it again next Monday, 6 to 6:30, right here at Eagle Country 99.3.